Let us pray. For the gift of this day, Lord. For ethereal music. For sunshine on our faces and mallards and Canadian geese returning to thawing lakes. For the beautiful chartreuse of the willows popping forth. For people who love us exactly as we are. And for people to love exactly as they are. We are blessed. For food to eat and clothes to wear and a pillow to lay our heads on at night. May we never take these gifts for granted. For these Lenten stories, dear Lord, that remind us of how you want us to live our lives. Your true and oh so simple path to joy. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it occurred to me as I was printing off this sermon, and it was so many pages, and I realized that I've been standing up here for so long that my font is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and I could probably just hold it up, and Mari, you could probably read it for me if you'd like. I mean, really, can you guys see it? So I'm not sure if it's the Final Four tournament this weekend that's being played right on the heels of the Winter Olympics, right on the heels of the Super Bowl, right on the heels of the NFL season. Have we had a lot of sports going on? Or being the mom of all sons, or what? But I turned to my husband the other day and I asked, how come they keep talking about goats all the time on TV? And he kindly looks at me like, of course he would, and he says, do you think they mean real goats, honey? And I'm like, well, yeah, what else would they mean? I mean, the question at least warranted an eyeball roll or a jaw dropped. But then he explained to me, I hope someone else didn't know either, that goat is apparently slang for greatest of all time. Muhammad Ali's wife, Lonnie, incorporated the acronym 30 years ago as a way to brand her husband's talents. Do you remember Muhammad Ali saying, I am the greatest? Who knew? Nowadays, it's used to reference people outstanding in their chosen field. Hence, us hearing the term a lot these last couple of months. Tom Brady, LeBron James, Serena Williams, Shaun White, Michael Jordan have all been referred to as the GOAT. As I was thinking about the scripture this week and wondering what I was going to refer to, I even passed a pickup truck with a goat painted on the door and the company's logo blazoned across, greatest of all time, design and build. Okay, God, I got it. One could safely say that we are obsessed with who is the greatest. Well, it turns out that Jesus is too. For over 2,000 years, Jesus has pointed to the goat. It turns out, however, it's not at all who we think the goat is. In today's story, the disciples are traveling to the city of Capernaum. And when they get there, Jesus turns to them and says, what were you arguing about on the way? And like children caught doing something wrong, they sheepishly look at him and say, not one word. They had to have been wondering why on earth and how did Jesus know that we were actually arguing about which one of us was the greatest? Who's the goat? Jesus, who really could have put his hands on his hips and said, "Seriously, guys, have you not been listening to a word that I said?" instead gracefully calls them to sit down. He picks up a little child, he holds her in his arms, and he repeats these words that he said so very often. "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. That is who is the goat. If you love me, if you love my Father, then take care of this little kid." Again in Matthew 20, the mom of two of Jesus' disciples kneels before Jesus and begs him, "Declare that these two of my sons, that one will sit on your right hand and one will sit on your left hand in your kingdom." Jesus, knowing what lies ahead of him, replies, "You do not know what you are asking. Really, you don't want them to meet my fate." Well, the other disciples are angry at her for trying to push her sons to the top when they're trying to get there themselves. But Jesus calms them. "I know in this world, those considered the great ones are tyrants who hold it over you. But it will not be so among you, not in my world. Whoever wishes to be great among your people must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve." Again in Matthew 23, Jesus criticizes the so-called goats of society, the Pharisees. He says they love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogue and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, but they never lift a finger and put all the work on others. Jesus warns the disciples, "Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they teach. No, your instructor is the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus redefining power. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Again in Luke, the disciples argue about which one of them is the goat. And again, Jesus says, "No, it's not like that with us. With the Gentiles, the king lords his power over everyone, and the benefactors over them. That's not right. With us, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader one who serves. For who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table," Jesus says, "but I among you who serves." There is an image of Pastor Youngdahl that is forever etched in my mind. It was his last Christmas Eve before he died. He had preached 6 services and had 3 to go. He didn't feel well that night. The thinning skin on his hands had torn in a couple of places, and we were busy with spot remover, trying to get the blood off his white robe. He was tired and losing his voice, resting for a moment in the vestry. His leg was aching, and he was trying to ignore the pain in his back and neck. Behind him, there was a guy preaching on the TV, all slick and looking like a million bucks. I looked over at our most holy tall one, holes in the bottom of his shoes, humbly giving it all like he had for over 40 years. "Are you okay, Pastor? Are you going to make it?" And even though his earthly clay jar was fading, he looked up, eyes twinkling with the faith of a boy. He gave us a big smile and 2 thumbs up and said, Spirit-led, baby, Spirit-led. Who among you is the greatest? The one who serves. I don't know that we'll ever quite be able to follow Jesus' wishes for us here on this earth, at least not fully. I mean, even cans of Coca-Cola now are arguing about who's the goat, for Pete's sake. We've got the devil on one shoulder telling us, sit back, focus on yourself. You deserve it. You are the greatest. And Jesus on the other, urging us on to a beautiful life of service and welcome and caring for others. Let's try this for our gospel challenge this week. The next time you hear the term goat, and I promise you it won't be long, remember the words of Jesus. It's not the one sitting at the table, but the one who serves. And the next time you see a little child, remember Jesus' words. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. So, team Mount Olivet, it is halftime. Let's get back out there now and be the goat. Jesus told us exactly how to do it. We've got the playbook. Welcome people in Christ's name and serve others. It's that easy. And He'll take care of the rest. Thanks be to God. Amen.